here. But Jesus was here. And he was releasing right into us that which we have desired, asked for according to his heart, purposes, and will. And he said, reach out and receive. Reach out and receive. And I just really sense that as we raise our arms to the Lord in humility as an act of worship before you, that Lord, we receive with a resounding yes, with no hindrance and no barriers. We receive. We receive from you, Lord. The places that we have pushed down, the places that we have allowed the walls to be built up so that we wouldn't feel the hurt and the pain and the destruction, discouragement, and rejection. The Lord says the walls are coming down. The walls are coming down. And he's replacing that with the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is released. Holy Spirit, do it. We position ourselves, Lord God, for that. For that, Lord God. And whatever thinking has been stifled, not able to break through with freedom, I believe there's a new measure of freedom now. Oh. Oh, Papa, release the striving. Replace it with true hope. Shake us, oh God, with your love. Shake us with your love. Shake us with your love. Hallelujah. We receive it. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's just sing out. Hallelujah. I receive. I receive. Oh. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, more, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Yes, Lord, to the deep places. To the deep places where fear thinks it can stay. Fear, leave us in the name of Jesus Christ. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. Whoa, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Orphan hearts no more. Independent thinking no more. We release covenant, covenant thinking, covenant blessing, covenant over us, God. Whoa. Can we sing out, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we are receiving right now. We are receiving what you've released, oh God. Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor Mary Pat talked about acceleration into the future. God showed me a picture of a giant like slingshot, and there was a seat in the stretchy part, and as each person placed themselves in the seat, the angels were like a team of angels was just shooting them into the future. So if you placed yourself in the seat, which is an individual choice, don't be surprised at what happens, because there was a lot of launching going on today.
Father, we just call out that word and thank you, Lord God. It comes to fruition in each one of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we have individual choices, Lord. And we link hearts together right now saying a resounding yes, yes, for everything that you have. We thank you for the acceleration in this season. We thank you, Lord God, that the squeezing that's going on, the shaking that's going on is so good. It's so wonderful, so that we will be able to carry greater amounts, levels of authority and glory. Thank you, Lord God. For the sake of the Lamb's reward, Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord. Father, that even in those times where there's exposure, Lord, there's replacement. So much better. So much more. Always going forward, always building, always releasing. That's who you are. That's your nature. We love you so much. We praise you this morning. We bless your name. We bless your name and praise you. We celebrate you, oh Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Oh, you are so worthy, oh God. Wow. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just hear the words, dare to believe. Just dare to believe. With easy rest, as a little child just trusting in Father's arms. Stare to believe it's true. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We posture ourselves, Lord, for goodness, to be used by you for your glory, to be used by you to see nations come to the light to know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow. How many of us know that the Lord's always building brick by brick by brick? But you know, I can see the Lord. Sometimes our vision might be a little limited when we think of bricks. Like, oh my goodness, that's going to take 40 billion bricks to build anything in me. But I believe that the Lord loves to set up walls as he's finishing the foundation, and he's building layer upon layer upon layer. They're comprised of bricks, but the Lord is just, I just see like a fastward sweeping motion of bricks being made and laid and walls going up, good walls. But walls need to come down in us so that good walls can be built, that we are impenetrable by the grace of God. only because of His Spirit. So we bless You this morning, Lord. We thank You. We thank You, Lord God. We praise You, Lord God, for what You've released. And thank You, Lord, that we can accept and look forward to and anticipate that which You have with all goodness, with all thanksgiving, with all joy, with all humility, with a desire in our heart that any type of religious hold on our minds, on our emotions, even in our bodies, would be released in this season. Any kind of thinking that it does not involve Your kingdom freedom would be falling and completely eliminated. Thank You that we can soar in the Spirit with You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. And on this Father's Day, we just welcome back our Ghana team. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What an amazing, amazing trip of acceleration. Amazing trip of building. Amazing trip of breakthrough. And I know Pastor Bill's got many things to share as his father in the house here. So he's going to share with you this morning. Do you have the pictures ready back there? I think.
Love to have reunions at church. Woo! It's always the best when we gather together. Father, we thank You, Lord. You're amazing. You are amazing, Lord. Thank You, Father. For all You're able to do with sons and daughters like us. Lord, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. Father, we're just past an inch after the starting line, Lord. We're just barely have our leg in the air to take a step on the course. That's how much more we have to look forward to. How much we can anticipate. How much we can expect You're going to do. This is just the beginning. This is just the starting line. You have so much more for us, Lord. More that we can step into for Your kingdom's sake. More that we can open ourselves up to be healed up on the inside in order to pour out. Lord, we thank You that You've begun a good work in us, and You will complete it. You will complete it. You will complete it in us, Lord. Thank You, Father. We can only give You the gratitude of our hearts and our praise and our honor, Lord, by living our lives for You. Sold out, totally radical in Your presence, Lord. Totally radical out in the world, Lord. Help us not to back off in any way, but help us to step forward in faith that pleases You. The faith You give us is a gift. We can't drum it up. We can't pull it out of the air. We have to get it from You. Relationship with You. We receive it today. All of it. All of it. We bless You, Lord, in Jesus' name. So are you ready? That was a real rousing ready. Paul, are you ready? Paul, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, are we ready?
Yeah!
I think we are. Good. You can just start those running, Andy, anytime. I like to try to work in distraction, see how many people are paying attention. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons, your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, are you ready? For that? That kind of outpouring? Where a service might be on our faces? Under the glory of God? So heavy that we can't get up. No one preaches. The worship people go down on their faces. There's no music. We just hear the angels sing. We just hear heaven come down. We hear sounds of thunder and worship from heavenly places because we're on our faces. Are you ready for that? Has the Spirit of God poured out His Spirit on all flesh?
Yes.
Has He done that?
Yes.
No, He hasn't. But we want it. That's why all the yeses were out there. He hasn't yet. He's in the process of doing it. If He poured it out all at once, we would be on our faces. We'd never get up. Maybe. So He hasn't completely done that yet. He's been pouring it out. But when He releases it, my friends and neighbors, my family members, we will never be the same. Now, for individually on each one of us, some of us are receiving all of what's been poured out so far. And you can see it. Those are the crazy people up front, you know, on their faces already. They don't have to go down when it's poured out on all flesh. They're already down. Or crazy ladies that lead dancing on Tuesday night. They are getting it. They're receiving it. Okay? When they start running around the church like banshees. Okay? They're receiving what's been poured out already. If you aren't receiving what's been poured out already, what are you going to do when it's all poured out? Ho! You're going to be overwhelmed. It's going to be too much. You need a little dabble, do you? A little bit at a time, you know what I mean? Get used to it being poured out inside of us. Receive what's already there. So when the real outpouring comes on all flesh across the entire earth, you'll already be a bucket filled up, ready to splash on all those nations. Why is He tarrying? Why is He holding back? He wants no man to perish. He knows which ones will and which ones won't, but He doesn't want one that He knows about is going to receive Jesus to perish. So He's holding back coming. Come, Lord Jesus, come, but come when the nations have come in, I say. Come when we've reached all the nations. When what we're building in Ghana has some effect on that nation. If we just want to come so we can escape, want Him to come so we can escape, not a good plan. Let's just escape to the by and by and leave all the rest behind. All those people that need Jesus. You see them everywhere. You can't go anywhere without seeing someone that's so hurting because they don't have the Lord at all. If we're receiving everything that we can from Him, we'll anticipate, we'll expect the outpouring when it comes in full measure. Are you ready for that? Maybe it's a little solemn kind of ready. You know, it's, oh yeah, I'm ready for that. Sure, yeah, bring it on, bring it on. Okay. It's going to be awesome, but it will bring the fear of the Lord to our hearts, the real fear of the Lord. You won't see people in diapers in the church. They'll all be gone. It'll be too much. I'm telling you, anybody in Pampers will be gone. It'll be way too much. But I'm already overwhelmed now with what I have to do, you might say, for the Lord. Seems like there's something every night. There's something going on all the time. Well, we're going to have to prevail upon His grace, aren't we? For what He's asked us to do. How many remember what I talked about the last time I spoke? Those that weren't here, you're exempt. Well, maybe you're not. You could have gotten it on the website. I had two people up here with little signs. Oh, you remember Ashley and Andy? Awesome! You don't remember the message, you remember the two people up front. Isn't that nice? Okay, nominal versus radical. You notice that I didn't, you know, take a whole side of the church. Nominal versus radical. That wouldn't be too good. So we brought two people up. There won't be any nominal around when the outpouring of the Lord comes. They'll pass on somewhere else. They'll still be around, but not anywhere in our midst. They won't be able to handle the radical ones. They'll be so on fire, they'll back off of it. If they've been in darkness, they'll run to the darkness. You ready for that? Whoa. It's coming. He said it is. Do we have sons and daughters prophesying? Yes. Do we have young men seeing visions? Yes. Do we have old men dreaming dreams? You betcha. He's going to pour out His Spirit on men and women. You notice that? Maid servants, men servants. Now, maid servants, it's not like you're the maid of the men servants. I already talked about that on Mother's Day, remember? It's a maid, a lady. You're going to have it equally poured out on you as the men servants. Take your place. Go against the prejudices. You know, the women, you haven't been given your place in the body of Christ, but you have in this house. So you can show the rest of the body of Christ what that's like. They need it. I told them in Africa they need it. I told them in India they need it. I'm telling us we need it more. Because how are we going to take all of this outpouring if we don't have maid servants and men servants being the servants, being the sons and daughters of the Lord that we're supposed to be, and receiving all of that outpouring to pour it out on the nations? Of course there have to be both male and female involved, totally. He's going to show wonders. Have we seen them? That was a little weak. Have we seen wonders? Have we seen signs? Signs on the earth beneath, wonders in the heavens above. blood, fire, vapor of smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness, moon into blood. Sure seems like there's a lot of, what do they call those? The sun gets covered by the moon and all that. Eclipses. Seems like there's been an increase in those in the last couple of years. There's always one somewhere on the earth. They always say, and you cannot see it in Ohio. It's in the paper. Oh, an eclipse. Oh, great. I'd like to see that. You cannot see it in Ohio. You must go to the Fiji Islands. Wouldn't be so bad if we could just run off and do that. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to see that? You want to see people crying out to get saved? It's an awesome thing when it happens. When we go to a country and they run to the front to receive Jesus. Or when we have Gift of Christmas here and people run down the aisles to get to the front to receive Jesus. But what if that happened every time a Christian was in the midst of a bunch of unbelievers and they ran up to that Christian and said, "Do you know how to get someone saved? I sense in you the Spirit of God. Oh, by the way, do you want a Starbucks? I'm right here with you, you know. Could you tell me about Jesus?" You know, we're having more people walk up to us or sit beside us in airports that are ripe for the picking. Or in an airplane. I was with a young man flying from New York to Ghana. We had a few hours over the ocean. And he couldn't jump out. He had the window seat. I had the aisle. His name was Kwaku. And so I talked with him for a while. He's from Connecticut. I said, "Why do you live in Connecticut? It's so expensive there. You ought to move out to Ohio, Kwaku." He said, "Oh, maybe, yeah." His wife was, you know, doing some work for people and so on. It didn't seem like they could even meet a budget. Looking forward to buying a house. Got to know him a little bit. And then towards the end of the flight, I started saying, "You know, you've got a..." Because he was commenting on all the hypocrite leaders, especially in Ghana. And I said, "You have a real heart for righteousness. You ought to receive Jesus." You know, then it can really be used. Right now, you're just complaining on a plane to me. That does no good. Maybe you can have an effect on the body of Christ in Ghana. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, why don't you get, you know, the power inside of you of Jesus in order to really release that righteous heart to the people in Ghana?" "Okay. Would you like to pray to receive Jesus?" "Yes." "Would you like to pray right out here on the plane?" "Yeah."
I'm thinking.
"Wait a minute. Where's the resistance? Where's the, you know, I got to think about it, you know. I'm on a plane. I don't want to receive Jesus on a plane." No resistance whatsoever. And I told him, you're not just doing this for me. "No, no, I'm not doing it for you." "Well, I mean, you could be a little nicer about it." And he just prayed right out to receive Jesus, just that easy. So I called him when we got to his city in Kumasi on our way up to the north, and he was there. Said, "Yeah, the last few days have been a little rough, but I'm making it." I said, "Okay. You got a Bible?" "Well, not right here. I've got one at home." "I suggest you read the book of John." "Okay, I will. When I get home," because he lives in the States, and he just visits Ghana. "When I get home, I'll do that." "Okay." So it was okay. It wasn't really, he was like thrilled to hear from me or anything. Then I called him when I got back to Accra. It was like, "Oh, it's you. Wow, you called me again." So warm. So, you know, "Hey, I want to see if I can get in touch with you." Wow. Jesus might have really grabbed his heart. But it was because he was just so open. Fruit to be picked. I'm telling you, it's increasing. Because the nations have to be one. People need to call out on the name of the Lord. it's going to happen more and more in this outpouring. We should expect it ahead of time. I said we should expect it. We should start expecting it, not expecting that the person's going to go, oh, I got a lot of reasons why I don't want to come to Jesus. Or all those hypocrites in the church. He saw the hypocrites and still wanted Jesus. That's pretty good. That's a real good excuse to not receive Jesus. That takes about 20 minutes for me to explain why you still need Jesus even though there are hypocrites. He didn't even go through that discussion. He wanted Jesus to change the hypocrites. Wow, that's awesome. God had prepared him already. He's prepared people you know. Because you're going to get poured out on and you're going to be so wild for them that they need a little preparation from the Lord to even handle you. How many have already experienced that now? Come on. So invariably, I'll be out with someone and I'll be having coffee or something and they'll say, yeah, I had this vision from the Lord, and wow, it was really cool, and gosh, Jesus visited me and everything, and I shared it with my family. Well, that's good. But I can kind of bet what they might say, some of them. So be led of the Lord when you share those things with your family. Because they don't have a grid for any of that. I mean, they'll get it a step at a time, but they don't have it right now. But the Lord will prepare them. I know He will. For you're being radical, so radical that you're going to bowl people over just being in the room. You ready for that? What if four people run up to you all at the same time in a room and want Jesus? What are you going to do? I'd just say, crusade, and just preach it to all four at once. Amen? It's coming. Do you believe it's coming? You have to believe it's coming. The outpouring is coming. It's prophesied Old Testament, New Testament, Joel 2, Acts 2. The outpouring is coming. It started already. We're already doing many of the things that it predicted. You know, 20 years ago, I didn't even know anybody did prophesy. I thought that was all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, but not this Testament. I was convinced all the prophecy we needed was in this book, between the pages of this book. God spoke, here it is. This is the Bible, I believe it, I live it. That's me. Wow, was I missing out? He's talking today, He's speaking today. I'm glad. It's a lot more encouraging than just relying on what's been in the past. Is this all good? Absolutely. Is it prophecy? It sure is. It's just not totally complete. It's complete in itself, but it's not complete with what God's trying to do. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a new outpouring. Why? You don't need one. You've got it right there. This was the outpouring and this is the end of it. No. Thank the Lord, most of us have the revelation. He's still speaking today. And He wants to speak to you. Dreams, visions, pictures, words. Experiencing God. All those people in the Old Testament that we tell the little kids about. Now think about this. Moses, saw God face to face. Provision from heaven. For 40 years, food falling from the skies. Birds deciding to land right at your feet for your meal. 40 years of that. Your clothes don't wear out. We're telling the kids, you know, right down there in those rooms. All that's happening. Moses experienced God face to face. Daniel shook in God's presence and fell as if he was dead. Paul was knocked off a horse at midday and blinded. Peter was released from prison. Things just fell off. He walks out. Jesus resurrected. I'm asking, why should those people experience God and we don't get to? Of course we do. Of course we do. And so he wants to speak to us about that as we're experiencing him. And when he speaks to us, we are experiencing him. I used to be afraid of experience. I thought, well, man, that will get you off. If you go with your feelings, my, that will take you out in left field. Well, that's the point. That's true. Your feelings will, but not your experience with God, the one that is willing to pour out his spirit on all flesh, and we all start just speaking for him, telling others about him, prophesying, having dreams, visions. I'm glad in this house that some old men are dreaming, because that happens so much in the Bible. A lot of these dudes were 80, 90, and they were still dreaming. Abraham. Moses got a second chance at life at 80. So that, in other words, there's no limits. And the young men can have visions. And the old men can be fathering and help them with those visions. What I'm saying today is, it's lovely, it's wonderful to have Father's Day. I love being a father. I love being a grandfather. But I'm called to be a father of nations like you. Can you step up to that? Because when the outpouring comes, you're going to be totally prepared for that. Can you take on that responsibility? I want to father nations. I want to father my family. I want to father my neighborhood. I want to father my city. I want to father my state. I want to father my own nation. And I want to father nations. And I'm talking to the gals as well. You can father. You might call it a mother, but the Bible calls it a father. It's okay. The guys are called the bride of Christ. Yeah, kids can go. Sure. I thought they were already headed that way. Got a phone? Yeah, thank you. It's President Obama. Will you tell him I'm busy? Yes, if the children can be released. I thought they would already go. Usually once I start talking, they all run. The song, I Can Hear the Rhythm of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I can hear the rhythm of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I can hear the rhythm of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's doing a new thing, 'cause he's singing a new song. And he's doing a new thing, so we're singing a new song. He's not a baby in the manger anymore. He's not a broken man on the cross. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever. Awesome. That rhythm is an increasing thing. The outpouring is an increasing thing. If you don't get in when the flood is up to your ankles, it's a lot harder to jump in when the flood is raging like a tsunami. You need to jump in now. You need to see what's happening in the body of Christ. Prophecies are going out, and they're coming true. Signs are happening. You can yawn all you want, but they're real. If someone's just like, oh, I see 50 of them, well, what's the big deal? You better enjoy every one of them to the max, or you're not going to be ready when the outpouring comes. Oh, those leaders, they have imperfections. You're not going to be ready when the outpouring comes. Of course they do. Every leader in the Bible did. Daniel's a little hard to find something, but okay, most of them. They had all kinds of problems within them, but God used them. If God puts some leaders in front of you, you don't sit and nitpick. Those are your leaders. Amen? Yeah. So, I mean, I've already told you there's 1,000 things wrong with me. I can make a longer list than you. But that doesn't mean that you can quit. Don't use me as an excuse to stop or to not take in all of what God is showing in this time. Right now, I'm saying it's probably up to our knees, and it's going to go up over our heads. So you better get used to things while it's at the knees and get over whatever things are bothering you, whatever things are taking you away from the presence of God. Because when the whole thing comes, when the whole loaf is in your hands, look out. You're not going to be able to handle it. You're not going to be able to handle that level of the Spirit of God. And not such good things will happen. More than likely, you'll find some reason to run from it. I don't want to see that happen for anybody. I want to see you all get used to the things God is doing in the sense that these are real, they're happening, and they're happening more and more, like the rhythm of the song, more and more and more and more, like birth pains, more and more and more intense and more intense. If you start having difficulties with some of it at the early stages of labor, it's not going to be too much fun at the birth. I'm telling you that. You better get used to those birth pains when they're starting. Whoa, that hurts. Yeah, you bet. Guess what? You already know it's going to get worse. Or better, depending on your point of view. You're going to have a baby at the end. Of course, it's better then. Right, ladies? It's better. There's the joy set before you. So, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and don't try to say, oh, there must be a problem in the church. I try to prevent things before they happen. I try to, do the fluoride and the brushing of the teeth and the floss and everything, so the cavities don't happen. Amen. In the body. I forgot Christy was here. So it's preventative. It's to let you know if it's coming, you have to be ready. You have to get your heart expectant. So what was happening in Ghana? Well, I heard such good things in Ghana about you people, that you were just, woo, all about it, all for it, all gung-ho about it. And last week, you gave an amazing offering. Look at this group. Small group that we are. Something like a total of like $8,500 came in. Oh. Don't look around and say, geez, somebody's got some extra in their wallet. I'm like going out with them this week. Shop till you drop, charge like a bull. Here we go. Let's go to the mall. Woo! Let's go to the mall. Who are those people with those loaded pockets? But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Wow. But I'm just hearing such good things. You're after these things. And I want to prevent anyone from thinking that we still don't have to expect. We have to expect more. Not just when the Ghana team's over there and really cool pictures are being thrown up there about all that was going on over there and the building started and the wells drilled and things are going! And then after the pictures are gone and the Ghana team's back, okay, back to, you know, whatever we're doing here. I don't know. Never did understand it. No. Stay expectant because there's another level to go up to. We get these crazy phone calls from people sometimes. Mary Pat will have me listen to them. This is the greatest idea on earth. I bet you can guess who it is. I think we ought to take Friday nights. We ought to go to the campus. We ought to... We ought to really go... Hey, somebody's getting the outpouring. What's there? They're taking in. They're up to their knees, boy. Woo! And maybe there's kind of splashing it up over their head. That's what we can do. We shouldn't wait for somebody else to have an idea. We might have it from the Spirit of God. Call Pastor Mary Pat's phone. You know her number. Let her know what's going on. What's shaking and rattling you up? Because he's going to give ideas across the body. Not just going to be the leaders. Share those. It's a good thing we had a team of four on this building stuff and on the ministry trip. Because every person added something to the team. I could see it. Where I was lacking, it was filled in by the Lord. Where that other person was lacking, it was filled in by the Lord. He knew exactly how to design a four-person team so that every person was valuable and used in their giftings. And I watched that work, and I was like, this is the way it's going to be across front line. When the outpouring hits, it's just going to all work. Every gifting's going to be, every hole is going to be filled in. Everything's going to work together in the body, just like it says in Ephesians and other chapters, other books. Wow, that's going to be awesome. And when people visit here, they think that's happening already. They see, you know, a lot of the body involved. They look at the bulletin boards and they go, whew. What is this place? But we know we still have some things that we have to work through and get straight and get healed up and so on in order for it to work even better. Let's go for it. I said, let's go for it. Let's take the outpouring that's here right now because there's more coming. And if you're having a difficult time with this, wait till it really hits. And you go up to say to somebody, you know, how are you doing today? Let me prophesy over you. What? I just said hi. I can tell you have a problem with your knee. Let's pray for that right now. How'd you know I had a problem with my knee? It's the outpouring. His Spirit is going to increase in each of us. It's going to come out of your mouth. I should be praying for you right now. I'm just sensing that, you know, there's something wrong with your eye. How did I say that? Where'd that come from? It's going to be the outpouring of the Lord. But you have to be willing to open your mouth. You have to be willing to lead a charge around the church and dream a dream with God. And it's heard all the way around the earth. I heard about it in Africa. These things travel quickly. Are you ready? I know that some of you are. But there's some that still need to get the revelation. It's okay. It's okay. I just want you to know it's coming from the front. It's on its way. It's on its way, and it's going to go past your knees. When it does, you're going to be... Your legs are going to go up, and you're going to be in this flood. You're going to be, whoa, what a ride, Lord. It's exactly what you want to happen. But if you've only let it go up to your ankles, you're going to see these other people, you know, being washed away in the flood, and you're going to go, what just happened here? Well, it's because you're on the edge. Here's the land, and here's the flood, and you're just kind of putting your ankles in. And you can't figure out why you're not being swept away with the flood that is coming. It's because you have to get out there and wade out there. Try things. Make mistakes. And then you'll be ready when it really hits and you're swept away. And oh my gosh, this body is going to have such an impact on the world, more than it has already. But we felt it building in Africa, in Ghana, when we were physically seeing the bricks come up on this building, the foundation put, the bricks. And we're like, this is just like the Spirit. This is just like the outpouring. He's going to do some of it a brick at a time, then it just seems like it increased. One day we came back and walls were up. Like, wow. We just did the foundation and a few bricks when we left, and then walls were up just like that. That's what it's going to be like. It's going to increase quickly. It's going to come through here like a flood. Are we going to receive it when it comes? I want us to be ready. I want us all to be ready. And be willing to do things the Lord's way. The Lord's way. So I'm going to have, before I share my message, I'm going to have the guys come up. I'm going to have the guys from Ghana come up, the Ghana guys. I'm going to do a little interview so I can keep them under control, because they have a lot to share. And I still have to give my message, so. I guess what I want to ask is for Lawrence to tell about the well, progress on the well. And if you need help with that, you know, we're all here. Dial in to tell us about through the school and the outreaches that we did, whatever they were, and the people that we worked with on the land and all those different things, all the different kinds of ministry. And if Rick, if you would tell about the house where it's at and so on. Then I want, now I'll go back to Lawrence. Well, I'll go back to Rick because I'm going to start with Rick and get a significant thing that you saw, or we already kind of shared some of those things. If you want to pick a new one, it's okay. But and it was significant that you saw there when you were in Ghana. Okay, so let's start with the building, and then we'll do the significant thing in a second.
Well, first, I'm glad you called me and told me to wear your Hawaiian shirt, so we instead of the Ghana shirts. But so anyway, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me with my excitement, because what we were able to partner with the Lord on while we were there was just seeds that have been sown, prayers that have been made, petitions to the Lord, and investment into an area of northern Ghana that FMI has taken a bold step of faith to say, Lord, we're partnering with heaven, and we're partnering with you and kingdom to see an atmosphere changed. And so with the building that I'm going to talk about, it was a challenging experience, because we have a mindset that, you know, there's a Home Depot down the road that we can get whatever we need. And it's not like that. You can't go to Home Depot, Lowe's, although they have Lowe's hats. We saw that. You wonder where they get but when you say, Lord, help us to meet our needs. Lord, help us to make this happen. We're partnering with you. We're not going to let worry or fear or any what ifs. We're saying, Lord, we're trusting you for all the finances, for whatever we need. We're trusting you. And we just saw it time and time again happen where God came through and just provided. with the building, we left at a certain stage where they were, I'd say almost, maybe about half done. But we made all the arrangements that I think in probably about a week, the end of this week, they should be done. It's an exciting time because no longer will FMI be staying at the Catholic compound. They'll be staying in that place and on the land that God has given us to minister. That will be base for ministry to the whole region. That's exciting. It's powerful to see what God is doing and the acceleration, the words we heard before we left of how God is just moving forward and to see all this happen. One of the neat things that we saw, for me personally, was a neat experience was they were getting ready to pour the concrete. And in order to do that, we had to rough in some plumbing to make provision for the toilet and or the WC, as they would call it, the sink and the drain for the shower and sink. And so that had to be done before they poured the concrete. We didn't have plumbing supplies, so we thought, well, we'll just go into Sala and, you know, pick them up. And again, Sala does not have a plumbing store. And so, where can we get that? Lord, you just direct our path. You make it happen. And so we went to Bole to meet another gentleman, the son of the chief, for a while. And so we had to ask around. We didn't know where a plumbing store was at Bole. And so we went to several shops and asked several people, and nobody seemed to know what plumbing supplies were. But there was a point where Pastor Samuel conversed with a guy, and he said, try this one building, you know, way down over here or whatever. And, you know, so we went way over there, and we saw this building. It had double steel doors with 7 padlocks on it. and we looked at that, and we thought, is that what we need in there? And so there was nobody there. And, you know, it wasn't worry. We didn't have plan B. We had plan A. And God was going to come through. So he went around the back of the building and found this guy. And here it was the owner's son. And the lady who owned the place, it was not there. And so brought him out, and one by one, with all these different keys, he looked like Mr. Jingling, he unlocked all 7 of these locks, and they weren't just little locks, they were big locks, like, who's going to get in there, man? But, you know, when they opened that door, I just went, like heaven, the doors opened up, the piece of pipe we needed, the exact length we needed to do the toilet. The exact length of pipe we needed to run the drainage, all the fittings, the one elbow we needed that was 4-inch, they had it. They had the glue. They had everything. Well, then the guy didn't know how much it was because it was his mom's shop, and so he had to call her, but his phone, whatever, was on the wrong network or something. They couldn't call. So I was like, oh, gosh, come on. We're going to win here. Devil, we're gonna win. Give up, you know. So, so I think Kofi had a phone that had the network that was able to get through. We reached the mother, and one by one, it took us about an hour with his lack of arithmetic and skills. We were able to figure out how much it cost, and we were on our way. We got back to the land, and it was later in the day. We got that all in, and they were able to pour the concrete, and it was just such a, my heart just leaped inside of me because you just can't believe how God provided for that. It was so awesome to see how just time after time with roofing materials, and it was actually kind of neat because they kind of blessed us in their own way. We bought a bunch of stuff at one store and they gave us a rooster and a chicken. So Pastor Samuel, which I wanted to kill, but the rooster, I wanted to kill the rooster, but no, we just had favor in every way with this building, and it's exciting to see it get done. It's exciting to be able to go back and see that finished and know that this is just the start of a a plan that God has set in motion to see transformation of that whole area. Just to see hearts. It was so neat to work with these masonries. Lawrence and I got to pray with a guy to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just so neat to connect with these guys. And they came over to our compound the night before we were going to leave to give prophetic words to them and just connect with these guys. They were so much fun, and we had so much fun working with them and being able to just share jokes and just life and how good God is and how God is going to change just the atmosphere of everywhere around that area because of what's happening, what's transpiring. And the building was like the first stage, and just seeing things happen. So it was an awesome testimony. All the materials, just seeing it come into place. Bags of cement. We had to, we needed over 200 bags of cement to be able to do this job. It's not like some big cement truck that's going to come and bring it. One day we needed some fill, and it took, 200 wheelbarrow full. It took us all day. Something that a backhoe or something could do in a half hour. But as we were partnering with some of the church members and Sala and the masonry guys, I mean, we worked in the 100-degree heat, sun beating down on us, and just had a great time with these guys working, and just seemed like so much fun, but it was hard work, and it was a great time to be able to do all that and just connect with these guys and just see God do so many miraculous things and provide. So the building will be complete when we go there again. It's going to be awesome. Of course, it'll need some prophetic vision on painting that I'm sure God will give somebody that. And there is a talk of a wing, maybe, that an addition down the road, but we'll pray into that. Lawrence might mention that. So yeah, God is good. So we're excited. It really took a lot to contain myself, just the excitement and how when you're there, and to come back and convey that to everybody here of when you're there and you're seeing everything transpire, when you're seeing every provision met, when you're seeing every prayer answered in protection and needs that needed to be met, and just health, days of not getting sleep. When you're asking God just for rest, when it's hot, and when you're on different time schedules and trying to adjust to their time, God just answered all those prayers, and we just felt Him so strongly the whole trip. And so, yeah.
The well. They brought a big truck in. They dug a hole. And water came out. Amen.
You want me to tell the story of the truck?
Okay. They love this story. So there were four spots that they came out prior to find where it would be best to dig the well. And on 22 acres, it was pretty, it was all over the place. But there was one spot that was right next to where we do the Kingdom Bible School, that area where you see the shed, and that was actually the area that they chose. So as far as location, it was incredible. But for those of you who have not been to the land, there's a section where, because we're right next to a power plant, there's drainage that's kind of cut this ditch through the land. And that massive truck that you saw earlier that dug the well had to get over that. Well, in order to do that, this African truck had to back up, rev up the engine, and floor it, and cut a corner, and go over the ditch. And I wasn't there, but from what I've heard, the truck did something like this, and just barely made it over and got to the place, praise God, without tipping over. Then they started setting up, and at that point, I was there and standing next to a couple of the other pastors and deacons that were there kind of observing. And they were having a hard time, amazingly, getting the engine started after they had that little voyage across the land. So we all just extended our hands. We prayed. I mean, we prayed for like, after they'd tried to get it going for like 10 minutes. I was like, well, let's just try praying. And like, we prayed for 10 seconds and the thing lit right up. Praise God. And they started digging. They went 37 meters, about 37 meters, and we got a yield of 27 liters per minute, which is about how many gallons? It's almost 6 gallons per minute. So that Alfred, the guy that was kind of overseeing it, he was really pleased with that. We even got video of him drinking some of the water after they'd flushed it out. After we got video of him doing that, he spit it out, because there's Alfred right there. So they put a cap on it. I think he's getting there this week to finish testing it, making sure that all the levels are good. And then the next step would be for us to get a pump, start doing some piping, get a big poly tank for storage and everything. But really, really excited to watch that whole process, because realizing that, and a lot of you guys who have been to Africa, a lot of you guys can imagine, it's kind of hard to coordinate things, you know, from this side of the world. But to see the fact that God was able to bring everybody's time schedule together, where they were able to bring the equipment out, dig the well, the exact week that we happened to be there, and see like 2 years of this process of praying into it and just asking the Lord to open those doors, and then just happened to be there when that happened, when they dug. It was just an amazing experience to see a manifestation of something that we'd been praying into. So that was really exciting to see that process. Pastor Bill had an opportunity to share with Alfred just about the vision and what the Lord's done in Frontline, and he was just amazed by it. He thought it was an incredible testimony. In fact, even after that, he came over and sat in the Kingdom Bible School for a little bit just to get some more of the teaching. So he was really inspired and really kind of excited to see what the Lord was doing there. One thing that really, for myself, that caught my heart, and I don't know what we shared first thing this morning. I'm just getting my kids here. But Pastor Samuel shared with the Kingdom Bible School on the third day. And he was giving a testimony about when he was here in the States. He was down in Florida. He had some time with Reinhard Bonnke, who's a huge evangelist in Africa. He, you know, to millions of people. And he was sharing about that, and he asked him about, you know, what the Lord would do for him to draw in the masses. And Reinhard just said, the Lord will show you, and he prayed for him. And Pastor Samuel was up teaching on the third day, and he started saying, he said, I was here yesterday just hearing some of the teaching. I would argue that it was while I was teaching. I think Dylan says it was while he was teaching. Details, you know, whatever. But here he is, actually. He's sharing, because we were sharing about the concept of stopping for the one, and he said he was listening to that, and it just grabbed his heart, and he heard the Lord say, this is what Reinhard prayed over you, as far as this is what the plan that I'm giving you. And to see his heart really grab hold of what the Lord wanted to do in that moment, you could see in his eyes. He shared with us that morning, but then he shared with the group in even greater detail. And to see his heart really grab on to the concept of stopping for the one, grabbing on to the concept of the Father's heart and being able to impart that to his churches, it's just an amazing testimony to see what he's really, the revelation that he had in that moment and how it really clicked. Because we see a lot of times where the concept in America for Westerners, or for a lot of people in the church in general, is that a lot of these things don't fit other cultures. They have this concept that as missionaries we're trying to create a culture like ours. And the truth is, you know, it's not an American culture, it's a kingdom culture that we're called to spread. And to see him grabbing onto that, and see that the students grabbing on to soaking and the Father's heart and all that, and seeing how it transcends the culture, that their hearts were really changed and really, really grabbing onto it. That it wasn't something where, you know, we had to get up and share for 5 hours like about what we taught last year because they remembered it. They were grabbing onto it. So it was really exciting, especially to see Pastor Samuel, the overseer of all of those churches, really grabbing onto that, because then we see that revelation and that anointing flows down to the other pastors. We got a chance to connect with some of the other pastors one-on-one and see where they were starting to grab onto that, and people in the church were starting to grab onto that, and really breaking down some of those barriers of expectation and seeing God move through that. It was really exciting to see all of them grab onto that. So that was, praise God.
So as Lawrence said, Kingdom Bible School was incredible. We had 3 days of teaching when we got up to the north. Actually, we had Sunday morning, we spoke to the church in Sala, which is the area that we were staying at. And the Pastor Bill gave a message. Different ones of us had a chance to share. He sang a song over them. Just a powerful time of ministry, just really touching hearts. One of the things that we really notice this trip is, and it's just from year after year, you know, of just faithfully as a ministry here, Frontline, just going and investing into them, is we could see that them catching it. Things that have been shared from year to year and built upon. When we got there this year, we opened up the Kingdom Bible School on Monday saying, how many were here last year? There were about 20, 22 people there by the end of the week. 25, closer to 30. And they just began to share what the Lord has spoken to their hearts from past years. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, yeah, I remember that. It's like, wow. You know, and that's a big thing for them to come back a year later and to say, and this is what, you know, this is what hit my heart. What that spoke to me is, just keep doing this. Just keep pressing in, keep teaching, keep instructing, keep loving them. And you know, God's going to be faithful there with that. It was really neat. We had the opportunity. We were all just kind of almost doing like a round robin with the teaching. Pastor Bill would be sharing, say, Lawrence is going to come and share some things. And Pastor Bill would go work on, you know, getting some things together. And then I would jump in. Rick would jump in. And it was just kind of neat, the whole 3 days just kind of going around like that. And how one person would share and that would lead into what the next one was going to share. And you know, one time Lawrence is up there, you know, teaching about dreams and visions, and Pastor Bill says, can you share about this situation and that situation in Scripture and da-da-da-da-da. And so, you know, we're talking. All of a sudden, Lawrence starts sharing all that stuff. I think he's listening to our conversation here. But I still had one thing that he didn't share on that I got to share on. It was actually the vision that Peter had. Pastor Bill said, Can you share on that? Since Lawrence took all the other ones, can you share on that one? I said, I think so. And so just really what the Lord communicated to my heart as I'm sharing, I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, you got to give me something. How, you know, what's in this? What can be unpacked from this that's really going to impact their hearts? And what it was Peter sitting on the roof and God showing him a vision of a sheet coming down with all of these unclean animals. At the very same time that a man in Caesarea is having an angel appear to him, basically, you know, saying, go send for this guy, Peter, because he's going to come and he's going to share with you some things. You know, the angel speaking that to Cornelius, a Gentile, before Peter's having this vision, because at that moment, Peter wasn't ready to go and to minister to Cornelius because his religious grid prevented him from going into a Gentile's house. And so it's like God was calling him to do something before he was equipped to do it. But in the process of Cornelius' men's coming to him, God gave Peter a vision. And Peter said, I can't eat anything unclean. I never have, never will. And God said, don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. And by the way, you've got some men coming to you and they're going to take you to a Gentile to preach the gospel, by the way. And so, you know, the Lord just really led me to share on, you know, that there's this one man out there somewhere who is a man of influence that God wants, has touched his heart, and God wants to release him into destiny. And then that led into Philip going into the desert in the middle of nowhere, running into an Ethiopian who happens to be in an influential place, for the queen of Ethiopia, And it, I mean, totally makes no sense. I mean, if God tells you get up now and go into the desert for your calling, I mean, we're going to be like, well, Lord, it's not, that's not the stage. That's not where all the people are. But it's like the Lord knows where he wants to call us into, and he knows that person. And just that whole stop for the one, I think most of you have heard that. Heidi Baker in Mozambique talks about that, that that's a message the Lord's really put on her heart, you know, to sit in the dirt just with individuals, to love individuals. And she does crusades, big crusades. But the message was from the Lord to her is stop for that one. The one that God calls you to, stop for that one. And it's just really exciting to see them catching that heart. One of the things that Pastor Samuel had said when he talked with us, he said, you know, what we're missing in Ghana is love. He said that, Pastor Samuel. I mean, that's just so humble for him to recognize that, you know, what, and it's not that there's not love in Ghana, but he was just recognizing something that God wants to increase more there. So what we're missing is love. We bring people in and we get them saved and then we just let them sit. He said, and we don't stop for them. We don't spend time with them. We don't go after them. We don't disciple them. We don't mentor them and love them. And they end up leaving. And, you know, it just was really neat because one of the things we pray over all of Africa is that the Lord would remove that orphan spirit and would restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And Lawrence, I believe, had an opportunity to speak to that, I believe. That verse. And so it was just really exciting during those 3 days, from morning until evening, just intense, continual ministry. And we had soaking time with them, and we ministered over to them and gave prophetic words to them, and had them turn and pray for each other, and minister from a place of compassion rather than just from a place of law, you know, in their prayers. And just powerful time. And then the following Sunday, we got the opportunity to go to a village I was about an hour away called Sinawini, which means a place of great suffering. And so we, you know, there was a church, a Life Christian Center church planted there. It's a very small village. And we ministered to them and loved on them and just saw some neat healing, some neat deliverance. And at the end, in concert with the people in the church there, we renamed the village Sinanomore, which means a place of great joy or happiness. I don't know, something like that. No more suffering. So it's just really cool because they caught that vision. You know, there were times on the land where they had, these two guys had a lot of opportunity just to minister to the builders that we were with, and just really to share the Father's heart and to receive from these guys as well. One of the guys, I don't know if he's a pastor, his brother's a pastor or something like that, but just, you know, a real love for the word and was just quoting scripture and stuff, but they really had an opportunity to minister Father's heart. And just, you know, along the way, just running into people to be able to minister to. Abednego, who pastors the church in Nyonge, which is where Balara, the witch doctor, had lived and practiced, very powerful, influential man on a negative side in the spirit. And last year, as most of you know, he passed away. His grandson, Abednego, is leading the church in that area. And just, I mean, powerful things happening. As we were, the day we were leaving, he jumped on the bus and he was talking with us, and he said one of the wives of Balari gave her life to Jesus on Sunday, that day. So I think that was two wives now. Two of his wives have come to Jesus. And so just exciting stuff happening. I'll hold my special moment till the next round. So I'll let Rick share something.
I wanted to say one more thing about the well that just Lawrence may have missed on was, you know, in Ghana, there's a mandate to put in 20,000 wells in Ghana. And so this whole well thing, that is a testimony in and of itself, because Alfred is a friend of Mama Vera. And we couldn't have had a better man to help us with that whole process. He's a pastor in Kumasi of a church, and just a real neat guy to connect to, and very patient, loving, and for us to get equipment, I mean, there's like one well digging machine in a pretty far range. I mean, you just, to get the equipment is so hard, and God made it happen and allowed us to be there and connect with him while he was there. Another thing is this equipment is old and, you know, used, and it's from India, and parts break, and it's hard to get parts to repair this thing. And so, you know, it was, anybody else would have crossed their fingers and hoped that maybe it'll work out, but we were trusting God it would work out, and everything came together. Just God came through. It was so neat to have that. We were one of the 20,000 that was to be put in on our land, and so praise God for that. So
yes, definitely.
Well, I wasn't there this year. It was, as you know, I was here. The Lord told me to stay here, and that was challenging for me, and on many fronts. But I knew it was the voice of the Lord, and I knew He wanted to accelerate things back home here and also in other places. And so I accepted that up till the end. I even had a plane ticket waiting just in case I was hearing wrong, we were hearing wrong. But the Lord said, just stay here. And so it's so moving and gratifying for me personally, as I have a deep love and a vested interest in that place as well. But what I wanted to say when Dylan was talking about the Bible school, I wanted to throw in a couple of things that it's really important in seeing the character of God, because we can hear about, well, this happened and this happened, that's great. If we can see the connection, then we can grow even faster where we are. And the vision that God gave Pastor Bill and I for the Kingdom Bible School began a very, very long time ago. We were just riding in the truck with Pastor Samwell, feeling as though we wanted to get land and we wanted to do something. We wanted to see areas and regions transformed and all of that. So when we finally were given this 22 acres, and the Lord said, now you can start Kingdom Bible School without your cement buildings, without anything, just start it. So we went in the first year, had a two-week Bible school, and last year a two-week Bible school, longer than this. The first one was about 50 people or so, and the second one last year was 100. It doubled. And then this year, when we were praying for strategy, still not knowing if I was going to be going, the Lord made it clear that we really need to call in those who are the specific leaders of the 14 villages that are up there in that area, and really invest in them, because there had been such a plowing and such a tilling of the ground. One thing that Reinhard Bonnke said to Pastor Samwell last year was, this is very difficult ground, just keep going. And so there's a lot of plowing, a lot of plowing, a lot of plowing, a lot of digging, and the people responded to what God was doing. A lot of watering, digging, watering, digging, watering, digging, watering. So when you hear them repeat something that they had a year ago, and it wasn't all of them, you know the Lord was saying, I'm pulling you in for a special purpose. You're going to be my special forces, and I'm going to do something with you that is way above and beyond what you can see right now. Because normally we don't decrease numbers, we increase numbers. But for this trip, there was a honing in on certain people more so than what seems to be the masses of leadership, you know, in the area. And so for the third year, and the first year is the year that we were attacked with the malaria. That was the first year, 2009. And so the devil tried to stop all of this because he is afraid of the Word of God. He's afraid of the power behind the Word of God. And he's afraid, he's fearful of the release of what Pastor Bill's been preaching about. So there was a release from what my beloved told me. There was a release over this land, over the people, in a higher measure, whatever that looks like, whatever higher is. We thought it was the highest of everything last year and the year before. But then you come in the third year, and then the Lord just, you know, really, really zeroes in and releases a greater level of the anointing. It's very exciting. And so to see this, to understand the history of it, to vision the future for Kingdom Bible School, for the Frontline Training Center, to see that this is going to be a pivotal place, a pivotal area in the region, not just for Ghana, but to be taken into the rest of Africa, Northern Africa, and to also touch the countries on the east and the west side. It's a very big deal. And so God's very specific about that and intentional. He doesn't want to see it fall. He doesn't want to just have a nice little Bible school. You can go somewhere else and do that. He wants something that will remain. And how he wanted to structurally do it this year It was amazing. And right before we came, this wind came and blew the whole structure down. Boom, just like that. So we got right back up, and they rebuilt it and had the Bible school. And, you know, the Lord's saying, excuse me, I trump everything. So, you know, there are these tugs and back and forth in the spirit, but we really need to thank God for all these years. And many of you were part of those teams last year and the year before. Everything that you did, it was all pivotal. And next year, Lord willing, will be even more massive, whatever that looks like to the Lord. Be it three times the size or the same size, I don't know, but it will be massive in the spirit, and it will be intended to really, really cement what's been released. So keep praying into that. The Kingdom Bible School, it's the mainstay, if you will, of everything else that's going to be poured out there, the medical clinic and school and children's homes and agricultural micro-enterprise systems, all of that that's coming, worship center. The Lord says, the word of God, as you're worshiping me, will be carried and will not fall away and will not fall to naught. It's very, very significant. So I just wanted to add my voice to that. Well done, you guys. You finished?
What really stuck out to us? Round two? Okay. Something that really, really was an awesome experience that we had one of the first days of the Kingdom Bible School. We're coming into the afternoon, 2:30, 3 o'clock, kind of winding down, and there were these storm clouds that rolled in, and we had some pictures of them there somewhere, but these massive storm clouds rolling in literally on all sides. And so we just began to lead the students in really praying that the Lord would hold the rain. These leaders, these pastors were staying on tents on the land, tents that have been there a couple years, broken zippers, things like that. So needless to say, a massive rainstorm or a rain of any amount has a potential to flood out the tents, to make it difficult for them to sleep. You know, the shelter we had was good for protecting the sun at that point, but, you know, not from the rain. And so we were just praying, saying, God, stop the rain, yes, for the practical reasons, but also do a demonstration for these students that they could see the authority that they have. And so we began to lead them out and pray, and many of them were jumping in and just praying into that. Some of them were just kind of laughing and giggling, kind of like, this is really strange, I'm uncomfortable, so I'm laughing about this. As oftentimes we do, you know, apart from really stepping into what God wants to do. It was neat to see by the end of that, all of them were intensely going after God and standing in their authority and saying, you know, literally we're surrounding this place. We're looking at the clouds. We're commanding them to move. So you got Pastor Bill on one side commanding the clouds to move that way. You got Lawrence on another side to move this way. I'm on another side commanding them to move that way. And the amazing thing was they were moving in all different directions. Never seen that. I mean, the wind's blowing this way, now it's blowing that way, now it's blowing this way. It's like the clouds were confused. They weren't sure which way to go because we were all telling them to go different directions. But above us, there was this opening. I mean, literally, this opening of clear sky. And on all four sides, dark clouds. We found out later that in all of the different villages and cities around us, it had rained very, very hard. But it didn't rain on our land. And that was just an incredible testimony to what the Lord was doing. The following morning, it rained for about 10 minutes. And then I don't think it rained the entire rest of the trip while we were there. Which, how many of you have been to Ghana? Is that usual? That's pretty unusual, isn't it? I mean, it rains, you know, it rains a lot. And so it was just neat to see the Lord in his faithfulness saying, you know, I love my kids and I want to demonstrate myself. And so as we walked out of there that evening, there were still dark clouds around. We gave them the challenge, basically handing the baton over. You know, this starts to roll back in. You have the authority to step up and to say no. And so it was just incredible to see what the Lord did there. So, amen.
So about the time that fire and wind started on Tuesday night, we were traveling back from Kumasi to Accra. We'd gone through the city of Kumasi on our way down from the north. and we're going over this very rough part of the road. There's about 14 kilometers that are just horrible. And we knew it was coming. We knew that we'd have to pass through that in order to eventually end up in at Pastor Samuel's place. So we anticipated this rough road, and we're just riding it out. And, you know, it's on this big bus, and you just ride it out. And so you're in a, you know, pretty nice seat, you know, for a bus, and you're riding it out. Well, all of a sudden, there's a commotion in the front. Normally, I sit in the front, sit on the seat in the front and kind of like to see what's going on. But this particular trip, I sat midway on the bus, and Pastor Samuel was in the front. And suddenly he jumped over and grabbed the steering wheel, as I understand it. I didn't exactly see it. And there was a discussion between all of them, and the bus lurched, and it seemed like there was a, you know, kind of a rough bang, and we're like, whoa, what just happened? And they're discussing it up front. Back and forth, and we're like, whoa, what happened to the peace and calm here that was going on? What happened was your prayers were happening. Your prayers for protection were happening. Seeing the outpouring, prayers aren't just, well, you just pray for the team, you know. They need prayer, I guess. They must need prayer. They're going to Africa. When you're in the outpouring, your prayer has intentionality. It has purpose. You know it counts that you pray for the team. You know there'll be a situation that they're going to face that the Lord is going to take care of, because he wants to reach Africa and he wants to preserve our lives. Have we not learned that with both of the pastors here having malaria in 2009, and, you know, myself having the ankle thing in 2010, and it, you know, the enemy tries. He's trying, but it's not working, because we're supporting one another and we believe that the prayer is important. And so your prayer was important about the time the fire and wind started. And it, I guess from what I heard, the first note was, we're there. It was a good thing, because the bus lurched because they were trying to avoid a vehicle coming into their lane. But on this side was a bank that went into some trees and then into the water very quickly. So potentially, according to Pastor Samuel, if he had not, you know, been part of lurching over there and making sure that that narrow window that we had to get through that gap between the huge truck ready to run us off the road and the small window between us and a bridge and over this bank into trees, smashed the van for the bus first, and then we're into the water. Guaranteed. That's what he said. That was the prognosis. That was what the enemy intended. But instead, we make it through that window. The back end of the bus hits the side rail after the gap that would have taken us down over the bank. And it was a little bit of damage to the bus, just as a reminder, oh, buses, they can be damaged. People that are under my care want them to be damaged. And what it says to me is, he's very serious about us making it to the nations and about being used to our to the place where we reach our destiny. But you have to have our back. We have to have your back. We're praying for you. From what I heard, there were a few things that were happening here. Maybe you're not aware of it. But the enemy was trying to take a few people out here, and, you know, he's active. I think there was a word given here about just how serious these times are, because the enemy wants to take people out. He doesn't want them to reach their destiny. He doesn't want them to be part of a community that has a covenant in order to reach the nations. It's a higher way for the body of Christ to go about things, but it's the better way. because we're saved from disaster. And it's not so much that, you know, our lives are, you know, not in his care at all times, but he loves it when his children are like, I know that Ghana team needs protection. I really believe my prayers are powerful. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to make sure that whatever happens on this trip, because there's always something that happens, they're going to be okay. Because they have to reach the nation of Ghana. And Ghana is just one of the nations we want to reach. So they have to live. You have to live in order to get all of the outpouring, to reach your destiny, to be on God's page in the future and now. So he's going to listen to the prayers of the saints and protect the team. The biggest thing that happened to us is we had a little bit of a jar. We didn't even know what happened because they were talking in a different language up front. And quite vehemently. And when they want to talk like that with each other, that's the language they use. They don't use English. We found that out. And so they were going after one another because the safety of the whole operation was, you know, a few inches. And yet God brought us through that. You know, the clouds, speaking to the clouds. We're still learning. You know, we had the clouds swirling all over the place. You know, why don't we get on one side and just, you know, kind of get them to go one direction around the camp? We're still learning, but they were going. Whoa. Clouds were moving at our words, and each one of us testifies of it. So you either have four liars or four people telling the truth. You know, I don't usually look up at the clouds and think I'm going to move them. But that day, the faith was there, the community was there, the covenant was there. Your prayers were there. Everything was there. The outpouring increased, I tell you. And those clouds moved. It was awesome. And that's not the first time we've seen that. That's like, what are you doing here, God? I'm telling you, it's up to the knees or someplace. Let the Lord tell us where it's really at. But it's going to wash us over. But it's also going to be, we're indestructible until he decides. Because we have to reach the nations. There are destiny words for many of you, as well as me, as well as Pastor Mary Pat. We have to reach those. So he's going to protect our lives because we care about the kingdom. It's not just about me living. It's not just about my life being saved. It's about I am a person of the kingdom, and the kingdom is what's important. I'm going to go to heaven sooner or later. Either, and Pastor Mary Pat might let me go at 120. She might. I have full confidence that she'll release and not pray for me to be resurrected the third to fourth time. You know, whatever. Okay, so I'm going to be with Jesus no matter what. But he has something for you here. He has something for me here. Because in the outpouring, he needs somebody to carry it. To go to the nations. I'm saying, in conclusion, I know that's a dangerous word, but in conclusion, we need the spirit of Jonathan again. Now, it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man, this is 1 Samuel 14, to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Why didn't he tell his father? His father had no faith. Jonathan was the one in the outpouring of the day. He and David. David was being chased by the king. Jonathan was next in line to be king. Gave that up because he saw David was supposed to be king. That's a kingdom person in the Old Testament. That's a person of covenant in the Old Testament. He not only said, this guy should be king, he covenanted with him. Now, a person's going to take your spot, the highest in the land, and you say, it's God, I'm supporting him. That's kingdom. Saul knew none of that. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, you know, Ichabod's brother. The son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. The Lord could have revealed it to him, but he didn't let him know. Why? They would have stopped him. Oh, don't go up. Don't go over there. That's dangerous. They're holding out. They're waiting for the Philistines to take them over. They're sitting. They're an army, and they're sitting, afraid. Between the passes of which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Senei. So you got two rocks and they named them? They must have been something. We saw a couple rocks in Ghana that needed some names. But these rocks must have been something else to get a name. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." You know, we took some plane trips. 4 flights. Planes crash sometimes. I had no sense that our plane was going to crash. There's 4 guys on it that are kingdom. I started saying, these people on this plane are blessed. You got 4 kingdom guys on here that care about the Lord and his purposes and his kingdom. And we're physically building it in Ghana as well as in the spirit. This plane is the safest place to be on earth at this moment. They are so blessed and favored. If any of them complains to one of the stewardesses, I think I'm going to say something to them. Because they are so favored to be on this plane with us. Now, that's a Jonathan thing. See, we're going to increase in boldness in order to hold this outpouring that's coming. You are going to be bold. Oh, but I'm a chicken heart. No, you're not. Somebody else tried that. I think it was mentioned today. Who was that? Shook behind the wine press. Who was that? Gideon. And the Lord says, you're not a chicken heart. Quit shaking. You're a valiant warrior. That's what he's saying to each of you in the outpouring. You are filled with boldness. Step into it. So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart." Who was the father here? Jonathan. Who was the son? The armor bearer. So we can't just have fathers with no sons. Some of you are stepping up to your rightful place as sons in this house. Some of you are stepping up to your rightful place as sons and daughters in the kingdom. That's what you should be doing. I'm proud of you. Because when the outpouring comes, you're going to need relationship to get through. You can't just do it on your own. You can't just be the lone ranger. I get the outpouring, I'm the son in the house, I'm going to do it all by myself. Try it. It won't work. That's how you end up failing. We're all supposed to link arms and do this together, and it's going to work in covenant. Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait till we come up to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." Excuse me? If they say, "Come up to us," they're on the high ground, we're going to go. If they say, you know, "We'll come down and get you," or "We're going to come down there," we'll stay. Where is the best military place to be? The high ground. Why in the world would you ever say, if they call us up to the high ground, we will go? It's because there's no enemy that can stop you in the outpouring, in the spirit. There is none that can stand in your way. If you're saying, "Well, yeah, the enemy attacked me. What could I do?" You need to get him right back. You need to, you know, repel the attack and go right back after him. The people in Ghana are amazed that we come back after having malaria there. They're like, you're back. Didn't you have malaria 2009? Yeah. Well, we had to come back and give the enemy something that he'll remember. Because if we just remember the malaria and we never go back, then it's his remembrance. But if we go back and kick him in the face by winning people to Jesus, building a compound that'll reach the entire nation and so on, we're kicking him in the face. And he'll retreat. Resist the enemy and he will flee. You don't resist him by, you know, oops, he attacked us. Let's back off. No, you go forward. You go forward. The faith will increase. It'll be there for you. The grace will increase and you can step into it. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. Two guys against a garrison, they show themselves. Here we are! What are you going to say to us? That's boldness. That's the kind you're going to have. No more are you going to be intimidated by anybody. I met with this chief, the Bole chief. He's over our land. He could take it away from us, I'm sure, if he wanted to. And the Lord told me, you offer prayer for this guy. You go after him. Now he's got a little area in his house that he sits upon these mats. And he's got these paintings behind him, all of it trying to intimidate. Well, I serve the King of Kings. I come as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, your kingdom is under his kingdom, and I'm his representative? Oh, no, sir. You're going to be offered prayer. So I said, what can we pray for you? We need to know your list. What do you need prayer for? And he gave us his list. And we laid hands on him. He scooted up off his little mats to the edge, put his legs over the edge, and we prayed into him things that he didn't even know, although we prayed into him. It was awesome, but it was the boldness of the moment. You know, he can bring it to us, and it was there when we needed it. And we just spoke into him. He received it all. His son, when I first met him, he's kind of part of the whole land thing, and he acts like the big guy, you know, and everything. He became humbler and humbler the longer he was around our team. The Lord is putting people in their place. You are not the big shot person. The representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ are. And they're not trying to throw their weight around. They're trying to throw their love around. And it's your love that they're doing it with. It's awesome to be his representative, his ambassador. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer, and they said, they probably talked to each other and said first, what in the world are these guys doing? Showing themselves. Come up to us, and we will show you something. I bet you will, the end of a spear. Edge of a sword. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. What? Two against the garrison? And you're already speaking it out? That's what we need to do in the outpouring, isn't it? Speak it out before it happens. It's a whole lot more fun. Pastor Mary Pat has taught us much about that. Speaking it out ahead of time. Speaking it out ahead of time. Then when it comes, you go, wow, I was part of that. This is great. There will be a compound in Ghana. There will be a Bible school in Ghana. There will be training leaders in Ghana. They will reach the nation of Ghana. This place will be a kingdom house for those that go there. Speak it out ahead of time. Wow, it's happening. Sheesh. You know, that was why it was so much fun for the team to see it actually happen. We've heard about it for a long time in the spirit, together, all of us. And now it's happening. We were your representatives with our eyeballs to see it go up. It's awesome. It's sweet. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. Not such a bad position in the kingdom, is it? Hands and knees. you can accomplish more on your hands and knees with the Lord on your side than you can accomplish being a mighty army on the side of the enemy. Two guys on their hands and knees can't even wield a weapon doing that. You're safer than if you're a garrison on the high ground. Awesome. Let's be bold about it. Let's get on those hands and knees and get them dirty and enjoy it, because we're in a powerful position. And it just says, and they fell before Jonathan. I mean, just, you know, like, this is common. Every day, winning the battle against the enemy. Hands and knees, armor bearer behind him, hands and knees. Armor bearer has the armor. They already fall down before they even get a chance to use the armor. Amazing. That's what we can expect. And as he came after them, his armor bearer killed them. So Jonathan peeks his, you know, nose up over the top of the place, sees they're already down, makes way for the armor bearer to come through, kills them all. Jonathan just stands as a representative of the kingdom. It's just taken care of. Because of what? Faith won the day. Trusting in a God that is so big that two against a garrison, the numbers are in my favor. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. And there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was a multitude melting away, and they went here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, "Now call the roll and see who has gone from us." And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here." For at that time, the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened, while Saul talked to the priest, that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was very great confusion. And on it goes. It started a rumbling in the spirit and literally, a trembling in the land. This kind of faith, this kind of receiving of the anointing, this kind of receiving of the outpouring of the Lord, it's going to cause an earthquake. It's going to cause quaking on the earth, first in us. Things are going to be shaken in us that need to be shook loose. And we need to let them go. And then it will shake the earth. It will shake the nations that we go to. Simple acts of faith, like going to Ghana and building a compound and teaching a small group of leaders that go back to their villages. Small little things, sitting with children and playing with them, showing them the love of Jesus. Things that you can do, things I can do. He's going to use it to quake the earth in the outpouring. Are you ready? Father, we're thankful. You're going to make us even more ready. More ready than what we can speak out of our mouth. You're going to do it. You're going to increase us. You're going to give us boldness. You're going to have people cry out to receive the Lord when they're in our presence. Are we ready for that? You'll make us ready, Lord, if we're willing to jump into the middle of the flood of your outpouring. And it will affect the people. We bless you, Father, on Father's Day. You're the best father. We give you honor on Father's Day. You're our great dad. You're our Abba Father. We say to you, we love you, Father. We love you, Father. We love you, Daddy. You are so awesome as a father, a perfect father where perfect love casts out fear. Thank you, God. We bless your name today. We lift up all the fathers, Father, in this place, and we lift up everyone to take on the responsibility of fathering nations, one person at a time. We give you praise. We give you honor. We glorify you. We glorify you today, Lord. Thank you, Dad, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord.
I knew it was coming. Well, to honor all of the fathers in the house, there is a Happy Father's Day cake to all of us to enjoy. So if I can get some help in the back cutting and serving, that would be lovely. But we just want to say we love you and bless you and honor you with some sweet cake. So God bless you. Who's? Oh.
Okay, if you have a child or grandchild between the ages of 8 and 12, they're totally invited to come to our Adventures with the King this summer. And it's July 25th, 26th, and 27th. And on the 27th, the parents or grandparents of that child get to come to a little picnic, and then they get to sleep over, if you want, if you would like a free time. They can sleep over and be picked up on that Thursday, the 28th. So it's really exciting. You can fill this out for your child and give it back to me or Ashley or Michelle. And we're really excited because we've had a lot of fun in the past. And so just fill this out for any of your children, all of your children between 8 and 12, and let us know. Okay?
Oh. Carol Lagel's birthday's on July 2nd. She's having a birthday party. If you didn't know, there's a flyer out there with all the details. Everyone's invited. What's that? Did I miss something? So anyways, you're invited to Carol Lagel's birthday party July 2nd.